I'll share a brief sermon tonight and then invite us to hold space for silence, as well as for perhaps more extended stories and experiences than usual, to hear from as many as possible how we're each experiencing this moment. And I want to begin with prayer, so please pray with me. Spirit of the living God, come and grow our faith, deepen our hope, strengthen our love, and come water within each of us the desire to be your faithful friends forever. Amen. I structured my sermon in three observations about the text itself that's before us, just three verses from John's Gospel chapter. And I set that couple of verses in the whole context of chapter 7, which leads me to my first observation. Jesus knew what it was to be targeted by the powers that be, to see systemic injustice and risk calling it out, even at the risk of his own life. At the beginning of this chapter in John's Gospel, Jesus does not want to go to Jerusalem. His brothers badger him and try and get him to go, and he says, no, it's not my time, because they're looking for a way to kill me. His brothers leave, and then he decides to go quietly, slipping into Jerusalem, knowing the stakes. And then mid-festival, he goes to the temple courts and begins to teach. And sure enough, the leaders conspire about how to arrest and destroy him. You can imagine what his teaching was. It was the message of the prophets before him. It was the message of John the Baptist, who baptized him. And it's the message of prophets since him. Take your knee off of the neck of God's beloved. Second, how do we know this was his teaching? Obviously, I've packaged it in a particular way for this moment, but it's not a far stretch. Let's take just a moment to look at his words and wonder, when he does cry out with an urgent message from the courts of power, how might he have been heard with those words that he said, that John reports him as saying? First of all, he evokes thirst, an urgent bodily feeling, a feeling of desperation. He promises the Spirit will be given to his followers so that their hearts can become rivers of living water. This might have very likely might have evoked a couple of passages for his hearers. The first is beautiful psalms that tell the story of the Exodus. Psalm 78, for example, is perhaps the most similar in language to Jesus's language here. This psalm talks about the Exodus from Egypt and the journey through the wilderness, in which God tells Moses to strike a rock with his staff, the very same staff that he held over the Red Sea, parting it so that there was a pathway of freedom for the people, a pathway of freedom from slavery. Psalm 78 says this: God split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them water abundant as the seas. God brought streams out of a rocky crag and made water flow down like rivers. So water to quench the thirst of people fleeing oppression, fleeing slavery, and heading toward a new life, a new land. The language Jesus uses also recalls the language of freedom and liberation for the oppressed from the prophet Amos, that Jesus' hearers would have surely known. The prophet Amos, speaking of God's rejection of Israel's unjust systems of oppression that, quote, trample on the poor, says God will not listen to the noise of their songs or the melody of their harps, but let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Third, when Jesus later in John's gospel does give the disciples the gift of the Spirit, he breathes on them. In John chapter 20, that story is recalled. And this, of course, recalls the creation story where God makes the first human out of clay and breathes into it the breath of life, and the human becomes a living creature. Breath is sacred. It's the very spirit of life given by God. Systems of oppression powered by the ideology of white supremacy are bent on taking breath, spirit, away, forcing the oppressed to literally cry out, "I can't breathe." Jesus responds, sharing his breath, spirit, from one down from their thrones and to lift up the lowly. Such revolutionary love, breath, spirit, is at the heart of this day of Pentecost and at the heart of our faith.